This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, Italy's boldest move yet to slow the spread of the coronavirus. It is now the first European country to require all workers to show COVID-19 health passes or risk suspensions from work and fines. 23 million people could be affected. Also coming up tonight, joining forces against a rising China, the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. launch a new defense pact, beefing up military capabilities in the Indo-Pacific. Plus, police here in Germany make multiple arrests after a threat of an attack on a synagogue in the city of Hagen. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. Italy is set to become the first European country to mandate COVID-19 health passes for all workers. Beginning October 15th, workers who cannot prove their protected status using what is known as green passes will be suspended from their jobs without pay, and they could even be fined. The move will make Italy a test case for the rest of Europe.
Italy's government taking tough measures to combat COVID-19. From next month, it will be mandatory for all workers in public and private sectors to get a health pass. Users will have to show proof of vaccination, a negative test, or recovery from infection. The Green Pass is an instrument of freedom that makes places safer. Secondly, the Green Pass makes our vaccination campaign more effective. On the streets of Rome, there's a mixed reaction to the announcement. The Green Pass is an important tool to deal with this serious situation. In such a serious situation, we need effective solutions. In my opinion, it's not fair, because I am a free citizen. I can decide whether or not to get a Green Pass. When there's an obligation, we no longer live in a democracy, but a dictatorship. So, I don't agree. Italy is the first country in Europe to implement the COVID-19 Green Pass for all workers. Originally, it was set up to ease travel restrictions and give access to indoor venues. Authorities now say expanding the measures will help the vaccination uptake, stop infections, and prevent further lockdowns. Those who ignore the decree could face fines up to 1,000 euros. But persuading everyone to get inoculated may be challenging. The country has seen protests in recent weeks, including at various railway stations. Italy was one of the worst hit by the coronavirus pandemic last year. More than 130,000 people died. While around 74% of the population have received at least one COVID-19 shot, it's a delicate balancing act for authorities now to prevent a repeat of the past as winter approaches.
All right, for more on this, I'm joined now by our correspondent, Seema Gupta. She is in Rome. Seema, it's good to see you. Tell us more about these new rules and why the government has decided to go forward with them. I mean, it is something we haven't seen in Europe yet.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it all kicks in on October 15th. And basically, you have to show that green pass, as you mentioned, whether you're working in the public sector or in the private sector, or even if you're an autonomous worker. So that applies even to caregivers and people cleaning in homes. And essentially, the Prime Minister said that this was necessary to continue the process of opening the country up. And the Health Minister wanting to make it clear that the motivation was to make sure that workplaces are safe and to ensure that the vaccination campaign becomes even stronger. The concern, of course, is they want to reduce the infection rate, and they are concerned about possible surges of infections as we approach those winter months. Now, the Regional Affairs Minister made it very clear they had to target both the public and the private sector simply because they wanted to make sure they could contain the contagion. It made no sense to start with one and then move to the other. And as you mentioned, if you fail to present that green pass, you're suspended without any pay after 5 days, and you also could face a fine of up to 1,500 euros. But they've also made clear that you can't be sacked because of this.
Yeah, that's an important point to make there. How much support is there in Italy for this?
Well, a recent survey showed that a majority of Italians are in support of the idea of the Green Pass and using it for these various measures. It's less than a third of the population or so that is said to be frustrated with this, feeling it's an exaggeration or something that is essentially infringing on their liberties. There was some concern about the issue of tests because the feeling is if you're going to be making sure that people who are not vaccinated are tested negative regularly, these tests should be free. Union leaders saying, well, you shouldn't have to pay to go to work. But the government said, no, they want to make sure people get vaccinated. So the tests are going to be allowed, but with a reduced rate. It's €15 for adults, and those under 18 pay €8.
See, you know, I remember those early days in this pandemic, you and I talking about how terrible the situation was in Italy. We remember the images of so many people being sick and dying. How then do you explain the resistance that we are seeing to this?
You're absolutely right. I mean, let's not forget, Italy has lost more than 130,000 lives due to COVID-19. Now, that's the highest figure in the European Union. That said, though, those people that are against this, you have a group that are the anti-vaxxers, and we've seen them become more and more vocal in recent weeks. They've been participating in protests. Many have been accused of carrying out death threats onto politicians or being even violent towards journalists. They feel simply strongly against the idea of vaccines. On the other side of the coin, though, you have those that are simply afraid to take the vaccine. They don't want to do it. They don't trust it. They're concerned about their safety. And so, really, that's the government's task right now. You've got a month before this kicks in, a month for companies to get their procedures together in order to check these green passes, and also a month they're hoping to convince those who have still not been vaccinated to go ahead and get that vaccine done, or otherwise be sure to be tested regularly and to produce that negative test before you can come into work.
Seema Gupta with the latest tonight from Rome. Seema, as always, thank you. Let's take a look now at some of the other stories that are making headlines this hour. Hundreds of Venezuelans have protested a shortage of vaccines. They are angry. They say they've been waiting too long for their second shot. Venezuela is administering Russia's Sputnik V vaccine. The recent arrival of the country's first delivery in 3 months prompted many to rush to vaccine centers. U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres says immediate action is needed to stop the planet from warming by more than 1.5 degrees Celsius. A new report says that CO2 emissions are now back at pre-pandemic levels. The report comes just weeks before world leaders are scheduled to gather for a major climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland. North Korea says it has successfully launched ballistic missiles from a train for the first time. Tension between Pyongyang and South Korea has been building. Both Koreas have been testing long-range missiles. U.S.-led peace talks aimed at getting Pyongyang to surrender its weapons have been stalled since 2019. Well, now to the announcement of a new security alliance for the 21st century, one that China says belongs in the 20th century. The United States, Britain, and Australia will begin sharing top-secret technology and deploy Australia's first-ever nuclear-powered submarine, all to deal with challenges in the Indo-Pacific region. That means China. Beijing has condemned the agreement.
Flanked by the British and Australian leaders, U.S. President Joe Biden announced the pact.
The United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom have long been faithful and capable partners, and we're even closer today. Today, we're taking another historic step to deepen and formalize cooperation among all three of our nations, because we all recognize the imperative of ensuring peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific over the long term.
For the UK, the alliance is an important post-Brexit step.
We will have a new opportunity to reinforce Britain's place at the leading edge of science and technology, strengthening our national expertise, and perhaps most significantly, the UK, Australia, and the US will be joined even more closely together.
China was the elephant in the room. None of the leaders mentioned the country by name, but Beijing's increasingly turbulent relationship with Canberra and China's influence in the region are thought to be the main reasons for the pact. Australia says it will now get nuclear-powered submarines.
The first major initiative of AUKUS will be to deliver a nuclear-powered submarine fleet for Australia. Over the next 18 months, we will work together to seek to determine the best way forward to achieve this.
But this has angered France. The Australian Navy signed a major deal with France in 2016 to build a new fleet of submarines. That deal, worth some 55 billion euros to the French, is now off. The French Foreign Minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, described the move as a stab in the back and against the spirit of cooperation. China slammed the new security deal, saying it would only destabilize the region.
The export of highly sensitive nuclear submarine technology by the United States and Britain to Australia shows once again they will use nuclear exports as part of a geopolitical game. It's a double standard and it's highly irresponsible.
The jury's out on whether the initiative will make the seas any safer, with many fearing it could lead to a new arms race in the region.
Earlier, we spoke to Teresa Fallon. She's a member of the Council for Security Cooperation in the Asia-Pacific region. We asked her if this alliance proves that the West sees China as its main rival in this century.
Well, it seems to be shaping up that way, but this is quite a big deal, this agreement. It breathes life into the notion of the U.S. pivot to Asia and a pivot away from the distractions of counterterrorism, as well as a more strategic relationship with Australia. It's a very bold step for Australia to take, especially due to their economic dependence on China. In addition, it signals that the UK is moving closer to the US and not so close to the EU. Global Britain is not a bumper sticker right now. And the agreement profoundly buttresses the capabilities of the Australian Navy and, in a sense, expands the size of the fleet available to the US, as these submarines will be interoperable. And it coincides with the ANZUS Treaty. It's the 70th anniversary of that. So I think it was a nice little package, the way it was all set up.
That was Teresa Fallon there from the Council for Security Cooperation in the Asia-Pacific, joining us from Brussels. Well, police in the German city of Hagen have arrested multiple suspects after what authorities are calling an Islamist-motivated threat of an attack on a synagogue. It comes 2 years after a right-wing extremist killed two people after failing to force his way into a synagogue in the city of Halle.
Armed police officers deployed to protect a synagogue. The service that was planned here in the German city of Hagen had to be cancelled at short notice. The reason? A threat of an imminent attack on Yom Kippur, the holiest Jewish holiday. Yes, we had information that there was a threat to a Jewish institution here in Hagen. Of course, we immediately adjusted the police protection measures and are also in close contact with the local Jewish community. Local police raided several buildings, arresting four people. This morning, the criminal investigation led to the identification and the preliminary arrest of a 16-year-old in Hagen, a Syrian citizen. Police came across three other individuals during a house search. They were taken into custody. The investigation will determine if these three people are also involved in this crime. In 2019, a right-wing extremist launched an armed attack on a synagogue in the eastern German town of Halle, shooting dead two passers-by. Back then, police faced strong criticism for being slow to reach the scene. The attacker, who was later arrested, is now serving a life sentence for the murders.
And the city of Paris has paid tribute to the late Bulgarian artist Christo by realizing his dream of wrapping the Arc of Triumph. French President Emmanuel Macron met Christo's nephew as he inspected the revamped landmark. The Arc was wrapped by the late artist's team, realizing an idea that Christo came up with when he first arrived in Paris back in the 1960s. Parisians will be able to visit the installation for the next 3 weeks. You're watching DW News. Up next, DW Business News with Aaron Tilton. Stick around. He'll be right back.